everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
For this week's featured topic, we are discussing five reasons you should try camping close to your home. We spent the last two weekends hanging out at Timberland Lake Campground in Jackson, New Jersey, only 30 minutes away, and realized there are a lot of perks to being near home base. We will also share some of our listeners' thoughts about the RV staycation.
And we have been doing plenty of book reviews for adults, but this week we will shift gears and recommend a great book to read to the kids around the campfire. A Camping Spree with Mr. McGee is a charming bedtime story with all of the elements of a perfect RV tale, a cute vintage trailer, plenty of marshmallows, and a curious and hungry bear.
All of this and so much more on episode 29 of RV Family Travel Atlas, Five Reasons to Camp Close to Home.
Before we head into this week's featured topic, Five Reasons to Camp Close to Home, we wanted to read a few letters about last week's feature topic, which was called Meet the New American Camper, in which we dove into the North American Camping Report, which was sponsored by KOA. And one of the things we focused on was the increase in diversity on American campgrounds.
Right. That really stood out in the report to us, and it was something that we thought was really important to talk about. And we noted that we hadn't seen a lot of the media talking about it.
Or was getting buried under some headlines about marshmallows and Wi-Fi and toilet paper.
Yeah,
and tech, right? Because that matters more than, you know, talking about race.
But it was a big deal to us, and we spent some time on it. But we got a comment, and I'll just read the comment from Keith on Facebook. And he wrote, "My wife and I really enjoyed this week's podcast. As African-American RVers, we are living what the KOA survey has pointed out. So glad you touched on what can be a touchy subject in our politically correct world. We have been considering starting a blog to highlight the RV experience from a minority perspective. It would not be exclusive, just more inclusive of the wants, needs, and concerns at a minority RV traveling families. We are in our second year of RV traveling and have experienced nothing but the best of why people RV. Honestly, every time we pull into a new RV park, we gauge if there are any other minorities staying there. I guess the best way to put it is there is comfort in numbers. Also, I applaud you for pointing out why campgrounds bring back the best of the 50s America that was not a very inclusive time in this country for most minorities. Lastly, I want to thank you for giving us the final push to go ahead and start the blog we have been pondering. Just like your podcasts have filled a much-needed void in the RV world, we feel there is other big voids that need attention. I guess as teachers, you have us as new students. Keep your fun and strong podcasts coming. Have a blessed day." And then he says goodbye from Fort Wilderness.
Rub it in, why don't you, Keith?
Yeah.
Still about 20 degrees here in New Jersey.
So this was such a great note for us to see, because he really hit on all of the things that, you know, were either important to us or were concerning to us about the conversation. Like he did say, you touched on a touchy subject. And we were like, yeah, we knew that.
Yeah, we knew it. We wanted to do it anyway. And, I'm so thankful for this letter, because I guess I just feel like, all right, apparently we didn't sound like idiots talking about
It is a hard issue to talk about. Right. So that was nice, and we felt good about that. And then another thing is that, you know, for him to say, you know, we do look around and feel like, are we out of place here? You know, do we fit in here? And we were like, yeah. Like,
that makes all the sense in the world.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that must be such a part of that slow build, right,
you
of
know,
diversity
I have to
on
say,
the
and again, at the risk of sounding stupid, you know, when I read that, I thought, well, what if we pulled into a campground and we were the only white people there? Like, it would just be something to think about, that's for sure.
You know? Would notice it.
Yeah.
And you would feel like, is this a place for us?
Yeah.
Are we?
And of course, as white campers, we've never had that experience.
Right.
So just, you know, it's obvious now that he says it, but you know, hadn't really thought of it.
No,
that way.
It's very easy not to think about if you're not in that position. So, and then I love the fact that he says, him and his wife were thinking about starting a blog. And that is such an important perspective to get out there. And if this is a building niche market,
right, then your timing's good.
Yeah, get it out there. And when you do, Keith will share it.
He will absolutely share it. And it's building. And just to kind of quote that statistic again, since 2012, mm-hmm. the number of minorities that are camping has doubled or come very, very close to doubling. So good timing to start a blog on that topic, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was, you know, that was just one of our most important topics that we addressed in the podcast. And this was a really great response back. So we really look forward to meeting Keith and his family at our
rally at Lake and Wood in Narvon, PA.
I know, very exciting.
Yeah, it's going to be a really fun rally. Mm-hmm. And there are our immediate circle of sites are all sold out, but there are plenty of other sites at the campground. So if you still want to come, you would just be close to the group, not right next to the group per se.
Yeah, sign up. Okay.
Yeah, so contact us if you want to do that.
Yeah, you can email us at rvfamilytravelatlas@gmail.com.
Yes, you can.
And okay, so we're not done yet because then we also got another comment about the other hot topic, right?
Of Wi-Fi tech at the campground. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I had said that this whole trying to build strong Wi-Fi at a campground is nonsense because really what's going to happen is the shift to
Personal hotspots
instead of campground.
Well, you were saying that everyone's paying so much attention to it, but it's really just this brief little window in time before everyone carries around their own hotspot.
Well, JP wrote us and said, I have to disagree with you that everyone is going to have a mobile
hotspot. In all caps.
Yeah, he wrote in all caps. I don't have a smartphone. I do have a cell phone that I rarely use. I just don't want to spend the monthly fee for a smartphone. Agreed, there is a convenience factor, and a lot of people are obviously willing to pay for that. But there are some people who don't want to spend the money. And look, I get that. I wasn't really saying that I thought everyone was going to have a hotspot. I was saying that I thought everyone who cared would have a hotspot.
Well, the people that most vociferously complain about not having good Wi-Fi say, well, I'm working or I'm paying my bills, using Wi-Fi, whatever it may be. So I think your point more is that those types of people are going to be carrying around a hotspot.
Yeah, and if they're not, they should. Right? Like, I don't think JP should get a hotspot. Yeah. I mean, he obviously doesn't need one.
We're traveling with a hotspot on our trip that's coming up to Myrtle Beach because we know at certain points we're going to need Wi-Fi for work. So we're bringing it with us.
Yeah, and so that is really what I think. I think the people who want good Wi-Fi should just start traveling with a hotspot and not sit there and, you know, get stressed about bad Wi-Fi.
But take note how open-minded we are. And when our listeners readers disagree with us,
I love it.
We don't mock them. We don't scorn them, at least not on air. We actually read their letters.
No,
thanks for writing in, JP. We also wanted to remind everyone that we've opened up posting to page on our Facebook page, and that's been a hootenanny.
Yes.
And we're getting lots of fun pictures of people camping.
And, of course, everybody's taking their first trips of the season.
Pictures of people's coffee grinders.
Is everybody going to Fort Wilderness?
Everybody but us, apparently. Or everyone's been to Fort Wilderness like 5 times but us. I've been to Fort Wilderness once, as I mentioned to somebody today. I was 7 months old. Mm-hmm. I haven't been back since.
That was a good time, I'm sure.
But anyway, so, if you go camping this weekend, put a picture up on our Facebook page. It's really fun to see pictures of people who are listening to the show. And there is just that energy and enthusiasm in the air for everyone out there who's kind of starting their RVing season.
Right. We had a picture that somebody just shared. It was today or yesterday. They said they listened to our coffee podcast and they had to go out and buy a hand grinder.
Yeah, it was this beautiful looking hand grinder. And he or she said it was expensive, but didn't tell us how much. Yeah. I guess I'll have to research that.
I'm sure it was.
I almost bought a hand grinder a few weeks ago. And the guy at my local coffee shop, well, Mike, who was our guest host on that episode way back when, he said, you know what, before you buy this, let's take it out of the box. I want you to see how long it's going to take you to grind your beans.
Oh, my gosh.
And thank God he did, because once I started using that thing, I was like, it will take me all morning.
I told you, I don't
to get 2 cups of coffee out of this thing. So he let me open it and use it and then make the wise decision not to get a hand grinder, at least for us.
That's what we love.
So we have a little Krups blade grinder, which a real coffee snob would be scornful about and say it's not
our
as good as a bar grinder.
Our coffee tastes fine. Stop.
Wait. Our coffee tastes fine?
Okay, it tastes very
Our coffee tastes
real good.
We have good coffee. Don't get me fine.
I didn't mean to insult. Okay.
Yeah, we did then, move to the French press.
Yes.
And it was a revelation.
Yeah, I loved it.
Stephanie used to do French press all the time, mm-hmm. and now I'm completely won over to the French press, at least for camping coffee.
Yeah. Yeah, we love it. It's out there. Okay, so you can post to our Facebook page your camping pictures, and then also hashtag on Instagram, hashtag RVFTA, and we're regramming.
We've been regramming. We did two or three this week, and I love having photos to share from listeners.
Yep.
It's fantastic. I like that our Instagram gallery is becoming, or hopefully will become, more of a community gallery and not just pictures of, hey, look at our cute kids camping.
Yeah, exactly. Because we think they're cute. Jeez.
We think they're
cute. Who else wants to look at them so much?
Yeah,
we
love the community developing.
We need other cute kids. Yeah. Okay.
Aspect of what we're doing.
So then, speaking of Instagram, I also wanted to give a shout out to a person on Instagram. Her tag is ButterflyM4. She is such a fan of our podcast. And she like at RV Family Travel Atlas in these comments
to on people other, she knows yeah, that RV.
Like, yeah, on other people's pictures. And she'll be like, have you checked out their podcast?
ButterflyM4 checks in the mail.
Yeah, I mean, like, how nice is that?
Yeah, that's awesome. So thank you.
So I really appreciate
it. It's actually
that.
Been on my mind to just kind of say to the people listening to the podcast, hey, you know, please, if you know someone else who RVs, who listens to podcasts, or maybe who doesn't listen to podcasts, we would really appreciate it if you would, you know, just tell them about what we're doing and share it.
Right.
You know, we've been growing consistently, and we had a month back from like December to January where our audience doubled.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to see another month like that with a doubling of the audience.
Sure. Especially during camping season. Be nice
yeah,
if people
it's
are putting us on
season.
While they're driving to wherever they're going.
As you're heading to the campground, listen to some RV Family Travel Atlas.
And so that's a good deed for us, and we appreciate it. And then another good deed for us is to leave us an iTunes review. And I have two to read this week, but one of them is from Dan at the In-Town Campground. And we actually interviewed them a while ago, and they are out in California. We've never met Dan and Aaron before. We just did that interview with them, but they're just such fun, great folks that now we end up going back and forth with them all the time on social media. And she's doing a great blog, you know.
And she runs a hotel called the Outside Inn.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they're opening up
the in-town campground.
The in-town campground.
Nevada City, California.
And they put such nice pictures up of the, you know, of camping and everything.
That's right. Oh, they're having fun with social media.
Right. So anyway, I'll read his review and then I'll say something else. So he says, thanks, Jeremy and Stephanie, for sharing your stories and tips on the RV lifestyle. We've enjoyed hearing about your suggestions. We appreciate the shout out with the interview on our upcoming campground. But because of you, we've been motivated to visit our first RV show, talk about our spring camping resolutions. We tracked down a teardrop tiny trailer and came up with top 10 camping fails. While we were happy with our vintage trailer and don't think we'll be buying an RV in the future, we're enjoying the opportunity to get to know a key part of our future business. So I really appreciated that review because Dan and Aaron are always like saying, oh, that was such a great episode and now we came up with our camping fails, or we went to an RV show.
It's nice to hear, yeah.
And it's like they give us this immediate feedback. But then when he wrote that, I was like, oh my gosh, look at how smart they are. They're listening and thinking about their future
clientele. Well, and our whole conversation with them started when we did an episode way back when that was like 8 tips for campground owners. And yeah, frankly, I've always like kind of maybe flattered myself a little bit to think that our podcast would be really useful to campground owners.
Well, and they're looking at it that way. Like, oh, this is a way for us to kind of touch base.
Aaron and Dan are smart.
They are.
They're all smart.
You know, it just kills me that they're so far away because I'd love to have them nearby and to be able to like jump over to their campground. I can picture like us being like, let's go do gear testing with
But we will get to the in-town campground, and so should you.
I know. Yeah. And we can't wait till they
open. I didn't even know we had this latest review.
So, yeah, and then there's another review left on April Fool's Day, so I hope it was.
Do you think they really meant it when they left 5
Fingers
stars?
Fingers crossed. So it was from TLMC3. Thank you for all the info you both put into the podcast. My husband and I listen together and always get great info and are jazzed for the upcoming RV season. We are washing and polishing the RV this week.
We are jazzed too.
Right, people get so excited about washing their RV.
I don't. I do. You know what?
You do too.
Well, frankly, we're leaving for Myrtle Beach without a good wash.
Well, we've had a rough run of it around here.
Yeah, one person's been sick after another.
We've done one of those things where like sickness has hopscotched through the house, and it's just kind of
and those
been
other
like,
jobs we have just kind of keep
nothing
like,
gets
getting
done.
In the way.
Yeah, when there's that extra,
yeah, we're crawling to the finish line to get to this Myrtle Beach trip.
Yeah, we can't wait. We need that. Yeah, so that'll be fun. So then we are going to Myrtle Beach.
That's the rumor. We're hoping to.
And we are going to be doing our first podcast from the road.
Fingers yeah, which crossed. Will be interesting.
So
that'll be interesting.
We have to hear feedback.
We might record it around the crackling campfire.
You keep saying that. I don't know. I'm nervous about that. Okay. But then our last announcement is that our spring gear guide, sort of a smaller version, it's got eight great items,
all on the affordable side, I guess. $50 or less. Maybe there might be a couple things more than that. But eight really great items
that we love for this upcoming
camping season. And that's going to be on the Camp Jellystone blog. By the time you're listening to this podcast, it'll be up on the Camp Jellystone blog.
And when it gets up there, we'll share it.
Absolutely.
On Facebook and everything. But take a look at some of the items.
Yogi Bear has to do a final edit.
And we he really goes over our posts with a fine.
Yes, he does. And we're going to do an expanded version of that as a podcast episode. We'll add 4 or 5 more items.
Because
we've been testing out a lot of gear, cooking over the campfire, finding the best flashlights. Okay,
It's hard work, folks.
It is hard work, but I actually really like everything. And we excluded a few things, too.
Yeah.
There's a few things we tested that just did not make the cut.
Yeah, we're not,
Because as a policy, we want to be recommending things. And you know,
we're not just going to review things.
It's not going to put up some items
this
and say,
isn't
don't
good.
Buy this.
Yeah, no, you know? It's things that we love. And there's a lot of things on this list that we really love.
That's right.
So
that's
we worked all winter kind of together. Yeah.
And we're also excited to announce we're going to have our first article appearing on the Good Sam blog. Mm-hmm. And actually, by the time this podcast is up, that should also be out. And that's going to be about our weekend at Timberland Lake Campground and all the fun we had opening up the RV there, which is it's a good sand park. Our feature topic, 5 reasons to camp close to home, was kind of derived or inspired by our weekend at Timberland Lake. We had a blast camping half an hour away, and it was the first time we've ever done that. So we'll be back in a minute with our feature topic, 5 reasons to camp close to home.
I'll admit it. For the last 5 years, I have resisted every one of Jeremy's efforts to camp near our home at the Jersey Shore. It just seems so silly to me. If I was going to go through the bother of packing up the camper, I wanted to get away. Away, away. Like a minimum of 2 hours. But this season, circumstances conspired and I finally agreed to a local camping trip. The ironic part? I was already loving the whole local camping trip thing before we even hitched up and pulled out. Planning, packing, departing, returning home, every step had a relaxed and mellow feel to it that I don't normally experience during a weekend camping trip. Between Friday afternoon and Sunday evening, I had an epiphany. There really are some benefits to an RV staycation. So even though my favorite part of RVing will always be exploring places away from my home, I'm going to give you 5 reasons why staying at a local campground can be a really great experience.
And it was a really great experience. Mm-hmm. So we spent 2 weekends in a row at Timberland Lake Campground in Jackson, New Jersey, which is the closest campground to Great Adventure. Mm-hmm. And it's about half an hour away from our house.
Right.
And like Stephanie said, we've just never camped so close to home. And there's not that many campgrounds close to home.
Yeah. And a lot. And some of the ones that are around us are like the state park kind of like Cub Scout.
Well, there's
camp out. Look, there's, woods.
We had a great time at Timberland Lake. We had so much fun, and we're going to camp close to home again.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to camp at Turkey Swamp Park.
Yep.
Was it State Park?
Yep.
I think. And that's less than half an hour from home. That's like 15 minutes from here. And yeah, people love Turkey Swamp, and we always kind of roll our eyes like, oh, it's like our backyard. Why would we want to camp there? But you know, there's kayaking there. There's fishing there. There's an L.L. Bean store up the road.
Right.
And I'm thinking that's going to be – now I'm really excited to do that weekend.
We had tossed around that idea of camping near home quite a few times over the last couple of years. And like I said, you had actually pushed me to be like, well, let's go do this. And I just was like, that's ridiculous. Why? I can go anywhere during the day. Like, why don't we just wake up on Saturday?
We go to Turkey Swamp.
Right. I was like, we'll just drive there and hike. What's the point?
I wanted to go, frankly, to review it kind of for our readers and listeners to say, hey, if you want to get close to the Jersey Shore and close to Jersey Shore beaches, you know, this is a good option. I wasn't like, oh, I'm so excited to camp at Turkey Swamp. I was just more like this utilitarian idea. Let's go and review it. Now I'm actually really excited to go because, I mean, the fundamentals are the same no matter where you are. You can have a great campfire. You can make s'mores, do some campfire cooking, play at the playground, go on a hike. Mm-hmm. You know, all those things are the same, whether you're half an hour from home or 3 hours from home.
Right.
So I'm now very excited for our close to home camping trips.
Yeah, I got very philosophical about it during the first weekend. Like, as we were going through the whole process of getting ready, I felt the difference. I was like, oh, this is
every now and then
odd.
You would just sort of stop in the middle of packing and scratch your chin and sort of look almost like Socrates.
No, because you never know what's going on with me with when I'm like thinking about something to write because it gets you mad because I don't talk it out. I like it's all in my
she
head.
She needs a room of her own.
I do, desperately.
Go write in the RV.
So by the end of the weekend.
You had a great list.
I had a list. I was like, these are
and
all
honestly,
of the things.
You know, you did take me by surprise with a few of these and there are some a few of them are things we talked about, but then a few of them are things that I had never thought of. And they're great. So let's run through the list.
Okay.
So the first reason to camp close to home is to dewinterize the camper in a low-risk environment. Now, that was something we had talked about in the past because last year our first RV trip of the season was Myrtle Beach, 10 to 12-hour drive. Yep. We pulled in, set everything up, and I turned the sink on and it like exploded in my face because I had tested out just about everything, but I just didn't get to plugging in the water back here in New Jersey. And plus it was cold.
Right.
Last year we said, you know what, we need to open everything up, make sure everything's good to go.
And we're not saying that this is like our bright idea.
No, it's not.
This is what everybody says to do.
This is one of those traditional things that so many RVers do that we just kind of like stuck our noses up in the air about.
Well, no, we didn't stick our noses up in the air. No, you didn't. Let's like lay this out. When you live in a colder climate, you want to the first RV trip.
Somewhere warm.
And the places around you aren't open yet.
Well, that's a great
And I
point.
Bet we have a lot of our listeners who can identify with that problem.
Right.
You want to open your RV.
So we get spring break, Easter break, whatever, and it's we can't really go camping before that.
Right.
So the beautiful thing is that we saw on Timberland Lake's Facebook page, they were opening up a couple weekends before Easter, just kind of for that reason, so everybody
and
could kind of get out there and have fun and open up their RVs. And we were like, that's a great idea.
That's what happened is I was going through my Facebook feed and I saw the post from them and I was like, hey.
Friendly group of people over there at Timberland Lake.
So nice
family
running
that
campfire. And I messaged
Michelle
right away. I saw it on Facebook. I was like, you know what?
It sounds like fun.
Let's do this.
Right.
You know, we need to go and visit them. They're only a half hour away.
So, they're opening up the campground. Everyone's opening up their RVs. And it was a really fun time. And everyone there was so energetic and enthusiastic and excited to be kind of like, pulling up and get everything going.
Yeah.
And the first weekend we showed up, there was snow on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we didn't even get there Friday night because one of the boys was not feeling
like
well.
Like I said, we had a stretch.
But, Saturday we said, we're just going. And we showed up and there was snow all over the place and we had a great night.
Okay. And can I say that opening up the camper in that environment feels different. Like when you go somewhere and you've arrived at your vacation, you feel like you have to start vacationing. You don't want to be sitting there opening up
here
the systems.
I was literally doodling around in the RV for part of the weekend.
Yes. Right. And that was okay because
it was okay.
There was nothing
if
else
we knew
that we
if there was a major problem, we could get home.
Mm-hmm.
And if I needed anything for the RV, the Camping World was close enough and I could take care of it.
Yeah.
You know what? And bless the RV. Everything opened up really nicely.
Yeah.
And after 3 years, everything is working great in
just
our
heard
RV.
Me knock on wood.
And let's hope it continues to be that way.
Don't say things like that.
So item number two on five reasons why you should camp close to home, more flexibility with arrival and departure times. And this kind of maybe was like my favorite surprise about camping close to home is that we're always trying to gun it out of here on Friday to beat traffic when we camp far away.
Yeah. Getting somewhere on Friday is a tricky business for us because, first of all, we live in a heavily trafficked area. I mean, you know, I know that people in other parts of the country have traffic. We got traffic.
We are not the only people in New Jersey.
Yeah, no, other people live here. And you know what? They get on the Turnpike and the Parkway at, 4:35 o'clock.
Which is right about when we can leave for a weekend camping trip.
Of course.
So, you know, a lot of times Stephanie says, we go 2 hours away. Those are places we could get to in an hour and 15 minutes if there were not traffic.
Oh, well, also there's a lot of places we won't go because they go through major traffic paths.
For instance, the Catskills. Yeah. My goodness, we always say, we want to go. You can get to the Catskills in less than 2 hours if you've got it or about two hours.
Or if you can leave whenever.
But if there's traffic, it can be 4 hours.
Oh, yeah.
So we won't even go to the Catskills for a camping weekend, which is kind of sad.
We really go west.
We go west or south down to Cape May. Mm-hmm. But it was so nice. You know, like Friday afternoon, it wasn't this stressful feeling getting out the door. It was like we were just kind of like taking our time and rolling out the door.
I didn't care when
we got to Timberland Lake and there was plenty of light left. We took the boys to the playground.
Because here's another thing. It's not just for us, the traffic stress. Our boys are not good when they're tired. Like, I know that some people have very flexible children that way. We never have. And none of the three of them does well, like, with a late bedtime. So when we show up at a campground late on a Friday night, like, I've already started my weekend off badly. Like, to me, I really have to be there.
Pulling up in the dark and everything.
Well, I have to be there by bedtime. Like, I do not want to be dealing with cranky kids.
It was so nice to get there, enjoy Friday night, you know, after having worked on Friday. And then Sunday, we were back home and plenty of time for dinner. Yeah. And one of the two weekends, you still went grocery shopping.
We got home way later than makes any sense both weekends.
Because we really spent a full day
Because we were
Sunday
lollygagging big time. Yeah.
No, we weren't lollygagging. You were getting together a lot of the stuff for the camper.
I'm saying we were enjoying the campground. We were lollygagging about getting back
home. The boys
home.
Were at the playground for like 3 hours that day.
Yeah, we were having fun. We didn't want to rush out. So
item number three on the list. Test out new sleeping arrangements, schedules, or gear.
Yeah. What do you have to say about that? Well, what did we test out?
This was also kind of huge, frankly, because Wesley is no longer in the master bedroom. And we have moved him back into the bunks.
Yeah.
And as any parent knows, when you change up sleeping arrangements, you don't know what's going to happen.
So for anybody that doesn't know the intricacies of our child bedtime sleeping arrangements, we believe in basically like transporting the home sleeping environment into the camper as much as possible because we've found that it really works for getting our kids to sleep well at a campground. So we did this with Wesley as well. Like, you know, when he was first born, we went on our first camping trip when he was 6 weeks old, 5 or 6 weeks old. So anyway, the last two seasons, he has been in a mini crib. Some of you may be familiar with that. It's not a pack and play. It's a mini crib. It's a real crib. It's just small. And this has been in our master bedroom where the bed would normally be.
I flip up the bed.
We've removed the mattress.
And put the mini crib in the storage bin, basically.
Right.
And it becomes the master suite for Master
for
West.
For Master West, right, because he needs his, like, quiet bedtime place.
But as we mentioned last week, he's rejoined the crew. He's back in the bunks.
So this
– And how did he sleep Friday night?
In a crib at home. So this was a big deal because we were like, okay, this
is
his
kid
first
freak out and cry
time. Or is he just going to get out of the
and
bed?
And also, another huge question – were the boys going to wake him up when they went to bed?
Yeah.
Because they don't go to bed at the same time.
And they have separate rooms.
Yeah,
here
Max
at home.
And Theo go to bed, you know, at least an hour later. Yeah. And could they be quiet enough? Because, like, frankly, our children are
not quiet.
There are
nothing.
Many lovely things I could say about my sons. The fact that they're just not quiet.
Like, I've had their hearing checked multiple times.
They're very
loud. There's got to be something. They're fine. They're just loud.
But did Wesley sleep Friday night?
He did.
He did.
He did.
God bless the child.
Well, both weekends, He, you know, there was a little fussing, but he was fine. He settled himself down. He went to sleep very quickly.
He is a real champ at the campground.
He slept to a reasonable hour.
More than reasonable.
Yes. I mean, you know, let's not He didn't wake up before 6.
Like, I'm sorry. It was not. He did not wake up before 6. If they wake up at 6 or after.
It was 6:30, which to me.
I'm cool with that.
Rock on.
As long as I don't wake up and see like 4:59 on that clock or even 5:30.
Which Max and Theo did to us all
the time.
All the time. So all of the nights that he spent sleeping in the bed, with the bed, we put a bed rail on the bottom bunk, and he did awesome. Slept through the night, woke up in the morning, you know, called to be. Gotten out of bed. We got him out of bed, and it was awesome.
Yeah, and the mornings are pretty peaceful and relaxing at the campground.
Yeah, so we done good. We're happy about that. So that was just, it was just so nice to feel like we were testing it out and we weren't putting ourselves in a position. Like, I feel like we just have so much more confidence going down to Myrtle Beach. Like, we're like, okay, we're good with this.
Right.
He's going to sleep in a bed, and we're not nervous about
it. So again, this was not our, you know, personal camping epiphany. This is something lots of people do, but it worked for us.
Well, then also with, like, even the gear and everything. I'm thinking, there's people that do mods and everything on their, you know, camper. If you put in solar panels, all that stuff, how good would it be to go to a nearby campground?
It's more fun than doing it in your driveway, too. It's hard to find the time to go out and do it in the driveway. If you're at the campground, it's like, okay, you're there.
You're there. So work on your camper a little bit.
And then you can have a campfire when you're done.
Yeah.
So number four on the list of five reasons to camp close to home. And actually, this might be my favorite one.
Okay.
Don't miss out on important weekend commitments. Now, this, you're such a smart girl.
Well,
because, look, we are not full-time RVers.
You better believe
it. You know, we live in a community. The boys play t-ball in the spring. They play soccer in the fall. And frankly, we RV so much, they do miss some games. And that's a little bit of a stress
here
point.
And there.
Here
but
and there.
We were pretty good. Like, I think in soccer too, like it was never two in a row or whatever. Like we're pretty
careful
about
that. You know, we don't want them
to
miss their games.
No.
And now we realize if we're camping at Turkey Swamp Park, 15 minutes away, we'll just drive to their t-ball game Saturday morning.
Yeah, and not only that, but everybody knows like the dreaded like birthday party, right? Because at this age, kids take that so seriously.
Well, there can be something every weekend.
Oh,
every parent knows that all of a sudden, every weekend in the spring can be fall.
And the boys are old enough now to know that Bobby's having the pool party. And
are you suggesting we've lied to them in the past, or
I'm
deceived them,
they
or
had
covered
no
up birthday
idea
parties
that they were missing events in the past? And that's okay, because I don't have to explain my decisions to a three-year-old about my travel.
Yeah, but now everyone's going to be talking about it in kindergarten class on Monday.
And not just that, but they know their friends. You know how they are. They talk about their birthdays for months up and everything. So I was like, you know, I don't want a six-year-old's birthday party to dictate my plans for the weekend. So it's a balance, and this is a nice way to balance that. Like, if the boys have something that they really want to do that weekend, or if they have a commitment, like a sports commitment or something, you can still have that sort of removed family time, right? Where you're there, you're having your campfire, you're relaxing, you're just outside, you know, more
sure.
so maybe.
Fresh air, exercise, all the things we love about camping.
Right. And you can have all that, and you can go, and you can go to your 10 o'clock game, and then Go back to the campground for lunch.
So that's, I think that's going to be really nice. I mean, I could see doing, you know, a Timberland Lake or a Turkey Swamp Park once a year, maybe for that reason. Now, the fifth reason why we should camp close to home is to be a tourist in your own backyard.
Yeah.
And this was, this was lovely too, Stephanie. I
had another post on this a while ago. Like, this is not I've had a couple of things about this. Like, this is not a new
thing. It's part of your philosophy of travel, but you sort of integrated it nicely here into this concept of camping close to home. So how were we tourists in our own backyard over those 2 weekends?
When you're just outside of your home a little bit, or just in another area a little bit, you tend to think differently. You're like, what should we check out in this area that we may not normally go to?
And going to Timberland Lake put us about half an hour closer to Princeton, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
We both love Princeton, New Jersey.
Been there a million times.
But we haven't been in a long time.
No.
And we haven't been since
the boys were born.
We
never took the boys.
And we never really thought of it necessarily as a great day trip for the boys. But then all of a sudden we're like, well, why don't we go to Princeton? We're a bit closer.
We're not big downtowners. with the boys.
Well, we haven't been. I'm hoping that could change.
They're getting older.
We had such a fun day.
Well, no, we always say we adjust as the kids get older. That we don't like say, oh, we never do this. But that everything's a season. And when our twins were 3 years old, the last thing I wanted to do was put them in a stroller and shop.
Right.
I mean, it's just a nightmare. Other people do it. I get that. I see moms at the store all the time with their kids. And I'm like, I'm here under duress. Yeah. Like, I have to be here.
Again, the boys are good in many situations. You know, going to, like, Target's not necessarily a strong point. But Princeton was, I think, really nice because we went to a bookstore.
Yeah.
And that had the Labyrinth Books, I believe it's mm-hmm. called, that has, like, a really nice children's yeah. section in the back.
They love the bookstore.
And we did buy them yeah. each a book, but we kind of turned it into an event where we went back there, we read books with them, and yeah. we were there for an hour at least.
Yeah, they love bookstores. I mean, we take them to the bookstore all the time. So they're, like, comfortable in that kind of environment. They right. get it. And so that was nice. We went to a coffee roaster.
Rojo's,
and they always
awesome.
Get, you know, they know the coffee shop. We're a coffee.
They get snacks when we go.
Yeah. So they know they get a little, like, treat.
They got a goat cheese
they
brownie.
Did. They did. They had these little samples of goat cheese brownies sitting on the counter. And so I gave them a little sample, like a little tiny bite. And Max's eyes got really big and he goes, can we have another one? I'm like, no, you can't eat more samples. But we had to buy
yeah,
the goat cheese brownie.
They were really delicious. They mm-hmm. were pretentiously delicious, but delicious.
And then
and Rojo's, the coffee there was great.
Yeah. And then abiding by my own rules, I said to the young gentleman behind the
barista.
Okay, behind the counter. He was very nice, very chatty. And so I said,
as he stirred your pour over,
where should we, pointing at our brood,
right.
eat lunch? I said, what
I
would be
about
a
that.
Great
he
place?
He gave you that restaurant
well, I
recommendation.
Asked for it.
Yes, you did.
And
I
that's
forgot.
What I always tell people. Like, you've got to just ask people. Don't. You know, don't go wandering around looking at menus. Like, talk to people. And
That has served us so well over the last 5 years.
He pointed us to a Middle Eastern place with falafel. Yeah, I have it. I have a picture.
Let's try and remember to put it in the show notes.
I will.
That was a delicious, family-friendly mm-hmm. spot.
Yep. And perfect. You went up to the counter. You ordered your food, right? Perfect for kids because you don't have to sit there and wait for the waitress, whatever.
No, the wait was 5 minutes.
The food came quickly. Big, huge platters
shawarma,
of falafel and
shawarma.
And they had fresh juices like guava and
yeah,
everything.
Yeah, had some kind of like mint iced tea that was delicious.
Yeah, it was just everything was really perfect there. And we could.
And a reasonable price. So we owe them a link on our show notes if
yes,
you're going to
travel
to Princeton for a day.
And then.
The real highlight.
We checked out the on Princeton University.
On the campus.
Right. In their library, there's a children's library.
Right. You walk in the front doors of the library, hang a right, and it's right there.
Yeah. Right next to the rare books collection, which, like, kills me. Like, who builds a children's library next to the rare books collection?
Oh, I thought those were the rare children's books.
No, they were in there right next to that.
Okay.
The room, like, if you had gone straight and set a turn, right. that's the rare books, you know? And I'm
right.
like, some toddler one day is going to, like, get free.
Playful, relaxing
yeah.
environment. And we whiled away. Maybe even 2 hours.
The boys
Am I
did
stretching?
Not want to
We
leave.
Were there a long time.
And you know
time.
What? It wasn't like there wasn't so much. It was
just
whimsical
enough.
In a very simple
well,
way.
But it was focused on
they
the books.
They had a puppet, like a little puppet theater. There was a treehouse. And the kids. And there was a couple of other kids there that the boys just picked up playing with really quickly. And they were just running up and down the stairs to the treehouse. And it was simple. It wasn't like a children's museum
right.
with a million different things going on. They didn't want to leave.
And it was a cold enough day that we appreciated being
right.
inside.
Right. Well, that was the problem is we've had. We still just have had cold weather. So
right.
it was nice to be inside and for them to play somewhere. And they had such
yeah, so
a good time.
I mean, honestly, we had just one of those like perfect days, not overly ambitious,
mm-hmm.
but just a lovely kind of day trip
and
type
And then we were
day,
ready to go back to the
and
campground.
Back to Timberland Lake for a campfire at night and
right.
to bed. It was lovely.
Yeah.
So there's our list, 5 reasons to camp close to home. And it seemed like a lot of our listeners really enjoyed this post too. A lot of people read this
right
one.
Yeah, and we'll be back because we're going to read some of the comments that we got from our readers
about
camping close to home.
All right, we'll be back in a second with those letters and a great book review. So So we received quite a few letters about that post that you wrote, that five reasons to camp close to home post.
Yeah, well, people just, you know, piped in with a lot of their experiences camping near home. And it was really nice to hear that so many people do have very beloved places nearby. And that's nice. I mean, you know, I can only imagine what it's like to have a campground. Like, we love our beach. Imagine if there was a campground.
Like a state park right on the beach.
We're a couple miles from the beach.
Well, you know, we have Island Beach State Park.
And you say every time we go.
It's a shame there is not a campground.
Every time we go there, you're like, and if there were.
Most other states would have a campground in that
park. If there were a campground there, we'd park our camper there probably every single weekend and just do whatever we wanted.
I'm sure it's for kind of environmental reasons that they don't want a campground out there. But then, like, a lot of other states do have campgrounds and those types of parks. And there's all the room in the world out there for a small, you know, carry in, carry out, dry camping kind of campground.
Yeah. And how cool would that be for us to be able to, like, try out dry camping, right? And, like, you know, like, work our way into it locally and everything.
Sandy Hook could also wire you. Why don't they have a small campground?
So some of our readers have places that they obviously
loved. So why don't you start?
So Chris wrote, "We almost always camp close to home, never more than a couple hours away. We're planning on picking up our new to us camper in a couple weeks, and until we upgrade tow rigs, this will not change. While we love our local spots, I am really anxious to try a beach and a mountain trip. Love your podcast. Keep up the good work." Thank you, Chris.
Llewellyn wrote in and said, "We live in Opelika, Alabama, and forgive me if I mispronounce that. Chewakla State Park is in Auburn, Alabama, a mere 15 minutes from home. We go out year-round. It is a lovely small park with all amenities. We feel like we are hundreds of miles away, but the convenience of a short trip home, if anything, is forgotten. We never get tired of our special little park."
I know. So I was like, oh, well, that just sounds so lovely. I want to go there.
I want to go there, too.
And Christy said, "We are big fans of weekend trips near to home. Most of our trips are within an hour from our house, which is out in the boonies anyway. One nearby trip that proved very useful was when we accidentally locked all of our camper keys, a spare set included, in the camper. It was only a 25-minute drive home to get the spare set. We do take one large week-long trip a year right now and plan to do a year-long trip in the fairly near future. Loving your blog and social media accounts I've recently started following." So that was like, yes, that was how I think most people do it. The one long trip.
Right.
And then weekend trips, like, you know, nearby home.
I have to say, too, we came home on that weekend, too. There was a point where we drove home for something on our short little trip this past weekend.
Yeah.
So she's saying, you know, home is close by if you have to come home. Brett wrote in and said, "We try and do a short overnight shakedown close to home after breaking out of winter." I love that, breaking out of winter. That's how we feel.
We want to break out.
"We are fortunate enough to have several nice camping options that are under 70-ish miles from the house. One of our favorite, Granite Flat in Utah, is only 30 miles away. But when we were there, we felt like we were much further away because it is tucked into a canyon. We seem to do one longer distance trip and many shorter weekend trips each season. Looking over the KOA report for 2014, this seems to be the exact opposite of the general trend."
And we addressed that last week. We said, you know what? The general trend doesn't represent us, and it doesn't represent a lot of people that listen to our podcast, because a lot of people that listen are like RV crazy, you know, every chance we get in that camper. But generally, you know, that's different across the United States. So yes, Brett, we agree. We noticed that too.
Absolutely. So thank you, everyone.
Yes, thank you so much.
Oh, by the way, Brett will be back on at some point soon for a guest campground review.
Yeah, we're
going to work that out with Brett. Yeah, we want Brett back on the show, baby.
He was a good campground
reviewer. He was a very good guest correspondent. So Brett will be in touch.
And we're going to be
We'll be back in a second with a really fun book review of a children's book called A Camping Spree with Mr. McGee. And we have to thank Mandy and Jason right now from Campfire Travelers, who recommended this book to us. I ordered it right away, and it has been a hit here at RVFTA headquarters.
And she probably did a blog post on it, right?
I'm not positive. She did a blog post
We were just talking about it, or maybe it was like in a Instagram post.
I saw the picture. So, I remember seeing the picture in an Instagram photo. Okay. I don't think she did a blog post. Mandy, we're going to check.
Hello.
Okay.
No, Mandy and Jason just recently launched
Campfire Travelers.
Campfire Travelers blog. They have been throwing up content left, right, and sideways.
She's the content queen.
Right. So head over there. Visit Campfire Travelers.
Yeah, she's a busy bee.
Check them out. All right.
So check them out. We'll be back with our review of A Camping Spree with Mr. McGee. For our recommendation of the week, we wanted to point you towards a great children's book called A Camping Spree with Mr. McGee. It's by an author named Chris Van Dusen, and I'll just read you his little bio here at the back of the book. As a child, Chris Van Dusen loved to go camping with his family, not in a cool camper like Mr. McGee's, but in a stinky old tent. He still loves to roast marshmallows, but has never seen a bear. Now he and his wife Lori share camping adventures with their two sons near their home in the wilds of Maine.
Great place to camp.
So this is a really awesome book. And the first thing that jumped out to me were the illustrations are gorgeous. They're really detailed. You can kind of get lost in them. And it really does pull you into the feeling or the desire of wanting to go camping.
Yeah. He's very excited. Like, it's very exciting
Mr. McGee and his dog Dig are pumped up and ready to go camping. And they have a vintage-looking teardrop camper.
A tiny trailer,
Mr. McGee Hart's tiny trailers.
And he pulls it with like incredibly a very cute hip and cozy.
Oh yeah, what does he pull it with? Is it like his station wagon in the beginning?
It says, look in the first page or something where it actually says the car that he hooks it up to, and I don't know that.
Oh, car. A Rambler. So he's got this kind of sweet butter retro Rambler. His vintage teardrop trailer. He's got lives in a beautiful house by the sea.
Yeah, it looks like Camden, right?
Oh my God, it totally looks like Camden, Maine. And this guy's from Maine, so you just nailed that. This totally is inspired by Camden, Maine, I think. So I'm going to read like two short pages just to give you a little bit of the feeling of a camping spree with Mr. McGee. Dee gathered pine cones and branches and logs. McGee made a campfire and cooked some hot dogs. And as the sun set behind far distant knolls, they sat roasting marshmallows over the coals. As the embers went out, they felt tired and dozy, so they climbed in their bunk beds all comfy and cozy. But while they were falling asleep without care, along came a stumbling, bumbling bear, a kindly old bear whose sight wasn't so clear. He couldn't see far, and he couldn't see near, but he could smell marshmallows, sticky and sweet. This smell made him hungry. He wanted a treat.
Sounds like our boys can smell those marshmallows.
I'm well practiced at reading this book. It's because I am. Yeah. It's because I've read this book 20 times since we've purchased it. And
to an audience.
I've read this book to an audience of kindergartners.
Mr. Secret Reader over here.
Theo selected me to be his secret reader to come into the kindergarten class at their school. And the book he selected was A Camping Spree with Mr. McGee, which I was really – I kind of played like a Jedi mind trick on him. I was like, Theo, don't you want to bring A Camping Spree with Mr. McGee? Because it was almost brand new at that point. And he was like, yeah, I think we could bring that. The kids might like that. And so when I got – and I went into the room before the kids were there and kind of hid away in the corner. And then when all the kids walked in, they were like, oh, it's the secret reader. And they all sat down quietly. And I said, no, boys and girls, there's a very angry bear in this book. Are you going to be frightened if I read it? And then they were like hooked. I mean, they wanted
Oh, well, they were probably yelling, no, read it. Right. That's what kindergartners like to do. They like to start shouting at you about the book, you know, like, oh, and they get all riled up.
It was a hit. It was a hit with the kindergartners. Yeah. They approved. And now this is going to be in the RV all summer.
Well, it was the past two weekends. I actually had to read it to Wes. Wes, oh my gosh, with his book demands. You just have to read things over and over.
Yeah,
easy. Yeah. So I had to read this book a lot to him this past weekend.
And the boys are playing a trick on me. Like, they'll each pick their book, and they know I like this one so much. They'll be like, Dad, why don't you pick that one, and we'll each pick these.
They get a third book.
They're trying to get a third book out of the deal.
A great book. We highly recommend it. Really cute to put in the camper. But I also just want to say we highly recommend books around the campfire.
Absolutely.
Just in general. We do it, you know, every night at home, our boys each get a pick before bed. And we mimic our bedtime routine so much that we always had that happen at the campground also. Now, as the years have passed, it's just really special to me that part of what we do around the campfire at night is read them their books. And they love that. And they cuddle up in our laps. And
it's a really nice way to end the day.
It really is. It winds everybody down. And you know what? It's just a part of our routine. And if it's not part of your routine, like, try it out.
A great time to not rely on the electronics.
It's great.
Actually bring some books. We let them pick their books that they want to bring on the trips. And it's one of my favorite parts of the day.
Exactly. So try it out if you're not doing that already. I guarantee your kids will love it. Like, young and old, too, because I always get the other kids that are there, like, all around me, too, while I'm reading
it. Yeah, absolutely. You know, like, and they then after we put them to bed, we take out our books and read.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a good time.
So listen, that wraps up tonight's show. We have got packing to do. We've got to get ready for Myrtle Beach. I don't know how we're going to pull this off.
Yeah, we always do.
We always do.
We'll tell
we
you about
it. We are tired. We are, like, this is, like, we are dying to get out there on vacation, but getting ready is...
We need some sun, folks. So
we need some coffee.
The next time we're talking to you, it'll be from
hopefully warm, sunny Myrtle Beach. Thank you for joining us
bye-bye.
Again for another episode of RBFTA.
See you at the campground.